Look, if you will, this morning in Proverbs chapter 14, and we'll read just one verse, verse 34. The Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." I want to look, first of all, this morning at the principle that is laid forth in this passage of Scripture. He says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." To be exalted means to be lifted up, to be raised up, to be glorified, to be honored, or to be blessed. And so he says the principle is righteousness exalts, lifts up, blesses a nation. But then he says, but sin is a reproach to any people. The word reproach means to be reproved. It had many meanings, to be reproved, to be disgraced, to be an object of scorn and contempt, to be shamed, to be torn down. And so the principle is this, that righteousness lived out by the people exalts a nation, lifts it up, allows it to be blessed and to experience good things in life. But sin is a reproach, it is a disgrace. It tears down a nation. What makes America great is from the beginning we have not necessarily been a Christian nation in the sense that we followed everything, but we founded it on Christian ideals and principles. And we as a nation have been one that allowed freedom and honored Christ and honored the standards of the Ten Commandments. That's changed to a certain degree because of a Supreme Court, but there are still many people across America who try to live right and try to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. So righteousness lifts us up, and sin tears us down and makes it disgraceful. So that is the principle that he lays forth. Second thing I want you to notice is the pattern. That is, how does this work? What is this pattern of righteousness lifting up and sin tearing down? How does this work? Well, it works in two ways as I look at the scripture. First, God directly intervenes in these issues. The consistent teaching of scripture in regard to Israel is when Israel served him and obeyed his commands, God blessed them. God honored them. God lifted them up. But when you study the period of the judges, when you study the wilderness wanderings, when Israel would go against God and worship idols and go into sin, then they would be torn down. They would be brought down, and God would allow people to come in and conquer them. Eventually, Israel was allowed to be conquered by the great land of Babylon and taken into captivity. The Bible clearly teaches that God intervenes in the affairs of men, and generally God blesses where righteousness is lived, and God judges where there is sin. The Bible is replete with examples of judgment. If you study the Old Testament countries, you will discover that there's some prophecies in the Old Testament that as people followed into sin, God judged that nation, and many of them were no more. There is definitely God judges sin, and God exalts a nation because of righteousness. So one of the ways that it works is God himself intervenes in the affairs of men. The Bible says in Romans 1, his wrath is against all of the sin of humanity. But there's another way this pattern works, and that is by the very nature of righteousness and sin itself. God intervenes, and sometimes we're not sure where God is intervening. But some of the troubles in this country and some of the troubles in life can be because of sinfulness that God intervenes. We don't know, because the Bible says even in Job, the righteous do suffer. But we do know the scripture clearly teaches that righteousness and sin as they are practiced have a direct impact. He who sows to the flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit reaps something entirely different. You plant a crop of righteousness, and by the very nature of that righteousness, you get something good. You get something that's a blessing. You get something that lifts up. And the very nature of sin destroys as it is lived out in the lives of people. And I want to illustrate to you by just thinking of some of the Ten Commandments. The first one is, 6 days shalt you work. One of the Christian values is the principle of work. Paul even said in Thessalonica to the church there that if any man does not work, he shall not eat. God honors work. And America is built on the hard work of men and women down through the years. 6 days shalt you labor and rest. Work is something that blesses a society. But you can also read of laziness, and you can also read of those who do not work. And our country has bent over backwards. You know, yes, I would agree we need a safety net, but we've gone far beyond a safety net. We've built a whole city based on the fact of taking from one to give to those who will not. There are some who cannot, and that's okay. But there are many who will not. And what makes America great is the hard work and decent work of individuals that lifts that nation up. And the laziness and the pride and the arrogance and the selfishness and the greed of people in their work tears it down. Deanne's brother gave a good illustration of this as he told of a company there in Iowa. And he said, and that company is probably going to have to lay off a whole bunch of workers, might even close down, and it's been on the cutting edge of what's been going on in society. But because of many of those in the field working there, because it was the dog-eat-dog world, because of their attitude of selfishness, because of their attitude of wanting me to be first, and because of their attitude of stealing from others their hard work and then claiming credit for it that infiltrated the whole company, the company now may collapse. We may blame it on some other things, but sin has its effect when the lives of people, even in the area of work. Think about human life. You and I used not to hardly think about murder and crime and all of these things. You and I used to leave our doors unlocked and didn't think a thing about it because of the righteousness of people. Used to be you could have a man's handshake, and that was good enough, but that's not good enough anymore. You've got to have all the lawyers and all the people to try to protect against all the corruption. Righteousness of the value of human life will lift up, but the sinfulness that doesn't value life will tear a country down. You and I can go in places in this nation, and we have to be very careful about locking our car and locking our houses and making sure everything is all right, because sin will tear down the value of human life. I cannot believe that in this land, in this nation, we allow the abortion of children. We allow the abortion, and we've not thought much about it, and it's constantly tearing down the very fabric of this nation. I think of the home. You know, I've been very blessed. When we go to Iowa, I'm always blessed. Deanne has two brothers. All our children are Christians and serve the Lord. They're married to fine Christian women. Their children, as far as I know, are following the Lord. I asked Mike, I said, they still on the right track? Yep, they're still on the right track. Blessed. When you look at the family on her father's side, none of them are Christian. Have nothing to do with God. Many of them on the other side have nothing to do with God. But there was a grandfather and a grandmother who found the Lord and who served him and instilled in the values. And you can see the difference. When we go, you know, it's peaceful. It's just a good time. We're all Christians. We love the Lord. It's a blessing. It lifts us up. But you know, in the home where there's sin and wickedness and the shame of the way people live, it can tear it down and there's no longer peace. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. I remember before I came to Boston, a few months before or a couple of years before, I had an uncle who tried to get me a church in Florida where my mother was. And I went down to the church, and it was a nice little town, kind of like Boston. A little town like Boston. And it looked like a nice little town. The pastorium was next door to the church. And across from the church and the pastorium was a nice playground. Oh, this would be nice. Then as I listened to the people and talked to them, they said, well, if you do take our church, you better make sure you don't keep nothing in your carport, because it'll be stolen just like that. Huh? Yes, sir. We had the preacher. They stole his lawnmower. They stole his bicycle. They stole anything. So whatever you have, you better make sure you lock it up. Oh, okay. Well, what about the park? Well, I wouldn't go and play in that park, because a lot of times just right down the road, we have gangs that come and play in this park and come and do their thing. And if I were you, I wouldn't let your children. No, thank you. I don't feel God calling me to this place. And then I think about Boston. Are we perfect? No. Is there sin here? Of course. But it's a good little town. There are many godly people. There are many people who love the Lord. And if you're, whether you realize it or not, it lifts the town up. It lifts the nation up. I wouldn't want to live in a town like that, where you had to lock everything up. Sure, people steal, but it's not the majority. We got to be careful, though, that sin will run into its place into a little town, and it can tear it down. We already see evidence sometimes of it. You got to be very careful. Righteousness lifts things up when people are honest. I think of a place of speech and where people tear down one another. And I think of a nation of covetousness where people are never satisfied. They always want this and they want that. Where people are covetousness and they spend hours and hours and hours to accumulate all these things, and yet they miss the great values of honesty and decency and family. Boy, wouldn't it be great to live in a place where many people have the fruit of the Spirit? Let me ask you a question. If you lived in a town where 90% of them were saved and all evidenced the genuine fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness, wouldn't that be a wonderful place? You know, I think one of the reasons people love the show Andy Griffith and Mayberry is because they made things sort of innocent and you saw the real people, but it was just a good little town. A good little town with people who kind of lived right and wanted to do right. They went to church. They honored things. They were not perfect. And it was just a good little town. I had a preacher tell me one time, probably a couple years ago, when I told him how long I'd been at Boston. And he looked at me and he said, "You better be thankful." He says, "Because I can take you where other preachers have been, in places that were awful and terrible, and the way they were treated and how awful they were." And he said, "I could tell you some horror stories." Friends, sin, by its very nature, tears churches down. It tears homes down. It tears towns down. And it can ultimately tear a nation down. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian, because I'm telling you, if it were not for us Christians, America would be worse off than it is today. You wait when the rapture comes and the Lord Jesus Christ takes home all the Christians, and all you're going to have left is a bunch of lost, deceived people. You wait and see how awful and terrible it is. We Christians are the glue that makes Boston a good little town. We're the glue that makes America a good nation. We're the people that exalts and lifts up the nation. And I can assure you that if the nation is allowed to continue down its sinful, wicked path, you and I will pay the consequences. God will intervene, and sin by its very nature destroys. I think of the passage of Scripture in Romans 3 as he lists all the characteristics of sin. And then he says this little phrase, "Destruction and misery are in their ways." Destruction and misery are in their ways. Why does righteousness lift up and sin is a disgrace? Because that's the very nature. What do you think heaven will be? There will be no sin there. Why will heaven be so great? Because there won't be sin. There will be nothing but righteousness and holiness and godliness and love and joy and peace and exalting the Lord and loving the Lord. That's why heaven's going to be great, because God's presence will be there and there will be no sin. Righteousness lifts up a nation and sin tears it down. I've been here for 20 years and I miss some of the folks that have gone on. We've had some characters in the past. They were not perfect, but had some fine Christian people in this town who made Boston a nice little home to live in. There are some people that have entered in our town, and I'm not going to say who might decide to tear it down a little bit, already showed themselves. But I'm going to tell you, it is us Christians that keep it strong and great and nice and wonderful and pleasant. It is righteousness that lifts up, and sin tears it down. I can take you to many of the churches that I preached in. They're not very much alive today because sin tore it down. I want to close with this promise. There is a promise, not so much in this passage of Scripture, but just in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that promise is simply this, that wherever anybody is today, whoever they are, Jesus Christ can change their life and Jesus Christ can forgive anything they've done. No one is too far. No one is too far away. Jesus Christ can forgive just like that. And every once in a while, someone will say, did you know what so-and-so did years ago? And I say, so what? I don't care. Are they doing it today? Well, no. Would that make any difference? Jesus Christ forgives and cleanses and wipes the slate clean. And he wipes the slate clean today. That's the promise of the gospel. That no matter where we've blown it, because we've all blown it to some degree, grace can overrule it, and grace can bring its blessing, and grace can bring its strength. I don't want to live in a town where I have to lock up my lawnmower and my bicycle and everything else. And then I can't even go across to the playground and play because all the games are there. That was that town, size of Boston. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to encourage you today. I'm not ashamed for trying to live right. And I'm not ashamed for trying to be all I can be for God. Because if it were not for Boston Baptist Church, and if it were not for the decency of this people, you might not even want to live in this town. It is the Christians, and it is the godliness, and it is the respect for God's truth that keeps us lifted up. Righteousness exalts and lifts up a nation, and sin is a reproach and tears it down.